On this Friday following Ash Wednesday, which is the first Friday of this Lent, the sacred liturgy examines the spiritual discipline of fasting. And there's two things we can consider in respect to the generosity, the purity, and value of our fasting during this Lent. And the first is objective in terms of actually fasting. We live in a world full of contradictions, and one of those contradictions is that we tend to go to extremes of either reducing everything to body or everything to pure spirit, and the world doesn't like to fast and abstain. And it seems in recent years a lot of times the Lenten fast is reduced to a kind of spirit of fasting which doesn't really have much of a content. You give up a few things here and there, but objectively our fasting doesn't tend to amount to much. I'm not talking about people who have health problems or are older or younger, but just in terms of thinking about this particular season in preparation for Easter, we should think about being generous with God and actually fasting, particularly from food. John Vianney, who was a great penitent and who suffered from the assaults of Satan because he was a great confessor as well, used to say that the modes of penance that really were effective against Satan were actual fasting from food and deprivation of sleep. And so we ought to ask our Lord to give us the strength during this Lent to truly fast on the days that are appropriate, on the Fridays of Lent. We should also think about, on the other hand, though, that that fasting is not merely a bodily discipline. You know, dieting is a kind of fasting, but that doesn't make it virtuous. And in the context of today's reading from Isaiah, we know that sometimes fasting can be lip service to God. Even physical, austere fasting can be offensive to God when it is not conjoined to a true spirit of virtue, a true spirit of penance, and a desire to please God. Isaiah talks about this false fasting of people who would abstain from food, but on the other hand, they were quarreling and fighting and striking out with wicked claw. It was for show. And our Lord criticizes this as well among the Pharisees, who used to put on a sour face and wouldn't groom themselves to make it clear that they were fasting. This was not pleasing to God. So on the one hand, there's the subjective aspect of actually making a generous effort to abstain and to fast. And on the other hand, there is the spirit which motivates it, the subjective part, what is within our own hearts, what motivates us to do these things, and that purifies it and makes it pleasing to God. And this is why when the disciples of John came to our Lord and asked him why his disciples, our Lord's disciples, didn't fast, he talked really about motive. Says, I'm here with them now. When I am gone, they will fast. And this is because really our motive in fasting is, of course, to do penance, but it's also to leave room in our hearts for God, or to make room in our hearts for God, to reject the world and its deceptions, and to recognize more perfectly, more generously, that it is only God that can satisfy us. It is only our Lord who can save us from ourselves and make us truly generous. And so really our fasting is a sign of our desire, hopefully, a sign of our desire to be one with God. And God sees our efforts and He rewards them with the power that is beyond our strength. And that's what we should be praying for as we fast and as we pray. It's kind of a little bit of a paradox that on the one hand, our objective efforts to please God through our penances and prayers has to be real. It can't be simply, this sort of amorphous, vague spirit of prayer or spirit of penance. You know, if we say that our work is our prayer and we don't give time to God, then that's sort of a self-deception. But if we do give time to God and we actually spend time in prayer, then we can make our work prayer. So on the one hand, there is this objective aspect of prayer and penance of a ascetical life. Yet on the other hand, the value of these things is not mathematical. It doesn't mean that the more we pray, the more pleasing we are to God mathematically, or that the more that we do penance, you know, the more that we add penance onto penance, that makes me necessarily more pleasing to God because I do more penance than the next person. This is the subjective error that sometimes religious people make. They interpret and measure spirituality in a very materialistic way, and this is also an error. And so we should, on our knees in a spirit of humility, ask Our Lady what is pleasing to God. Ask, the best course of action that we ought to take in order to be pleasing to God. And then very often that involves also taking advice from a confessor or a spiritual director in order to make sure that our penances, our prayer, our ascetical life is rooted in the most fundamental thing, the thing that is most important to all these actions anyway, which is humility. We give up certain things in order to reject the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, which is all pride. Self-gratification is pride. And so it's necessary that all these practices be rooted in humility, in a desire to please God and not to please ourselves. Because after all, that's what we seek to do during this Lent as we prepare for Easter. And so as we can reflect that in a certain sense the bridegroom is taken away, that we are in this period of penance waiting for Easter, let us do penance with generosity and with the right motives, with the motive to please God and to give Him glory.